Hi, Saucy But Sweet fam. This week is a special one. We will be diving into a topic that has been on my mind for a long time, cultural appropriation. There's a lot of controversy over who is allowed to borrow from one's culture and the right way to show that appreciation. Last year, Adele found herself in hot water after being photographed wearing Bantu knots and a bra with a Jamaican flag design to mark Notting Hill's canceled festival. There are also artists like Miley Cyrus who seemed to dip into hip-hop culture when it was convenient, and Iggy Azalea who people called out for creating a black scent for her rap songs. But cultural appropriation is not always easy to call out, nor is it always called out. There are times when cultural appropriation is not viewed as such. So if you're like me and love talking and learning about all things culture, you've come to the right place. Listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. To talk about cultural appropriation, it is important to talk to those who are vocal about it and in the know. Yemi Osibogun, who is a new friend to the podcast, has a lot to say, and we are eager to hear him out. We're so happy to have him on.
Welcome to the show. It's nice to finally have you on. I asked you to come on a while back to talk about this very thing, so I'm glad you were down for this. First, can you introduce yourself for those who don't know you?
Yeah, my name is Yemi. My goal is kind of just to create a safe space for young black creatives, emphasis on black creatives. We don't have a lot of safe spaces, and my goal is to create more of that. Either be through events or just when I'm in positions of power to hire young black people that are like-minded to empower them. You know, I've done that through be in events, done a lot of festivals. Most famously, Afropunk did that the last 4 or 5 years since 2016, you know, and kind of just navigated that festival space. And now I'm, you know, back to just working a job, but ready for festivals to come back and get back into that culture, creating that safe space through events.
Awesome. You know, but you mentioned Afropunk. I have wanted to go there for years. And now with the COVID, with the Rona, it's like, is it happening this year? Probably. I mean, what it usually happens in the summer.
It's different this year. It's going to be more online. So if you look at Afropunk's Instagram, there's been a lot of like online events, partner up with a lot of other companies to kind of curate this kind of just online culture called Planet Afropunk. Okay. But there are lots of events that are still happening this year. You know, people are like, how do you get to go to all these festivals? Or how did you start doing this? I started by volunteering. I volunteered just because I was like, oh, I work an 8-hour shift. I still get to see my favorite artist for the next 3 hours. And from volunteering at this event, it became a full-time job and just freelancing an event. So if you ever want to go to Afropunk or any other festival, I recommend you look up volunteer opportunities. You get fed as well, and you get to, you know, enjoy the festival for free.
Okay. Artists and food. I can't say no to that. You really can't.
If you get lucky and you volunteer backstage, it's even better.
Oh, that's amazing. No, that's awesome. I actually want to go to some more events. The last similar thing to that I've gone to, not concert, but just like a festival, was the Electric Zoo in 2016, and that was insane. I don't suggest going if you're not into certain substances and certain the vibe there. I think you know what I'm talking about.
If you're not into the psychedelics, let's put it like that. The psychedelics, yes.
Yeah,
we gonna say that. Let's not say too much.
Leave that right there.
Before they gonna play the podcast in court.
No, exactly. Yeah. So how are you doing? You know, how are you kind of enjoying this? I call it the hot vax summer. I don't know if you're fully vaxxed, but what are your plans for this summer? What are the things you're looking forward to doing?
Listen, the moment the vaccine came out, I was like injected in my skull.
Oh.
I was ready to get vaccinated because it's not even that like I like being outside, but I like traveling. So for me, getting vaccinated was like priority. So I've been vaccinated since February. So yeah, so I got vaccinated like my first one was like February 27th.
Yes.
Got my second one in March. And since then I'm like all around town, but it's still like staying safe.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm excited for the summer. Last year I feel like was a very, very, it was a revealing time in terms of just How strong we all are as individuals, how strong we are as a community with everything we got to experience last year. I like how we've been saying reclaiming my time. I feel like this is genuinely the summer where we can actually fully reclaim our time, because a lot of work was done last year. And I think there's going to be a forceful change, but the work still continues. And I think this is the first summer, but we'll actually be able to enjoy like everything, all the fruits of labor from the last year. I've seen hashtag waxed and vax somewhere. Definitely on that movement as well. So that's how we enjoyed the summer.
I like that. Look, the first episode back is hot back summer. So I'm using that hashtag, okay? Like we're having a good time. I mean, I was just telling my mom, like, we didn't go to the beach last year. We didn't go to Ride Playland. We didn't get on no roller coasters. All it was mask, house, hanging out with friends sometimes outside, but I'm just so happy that you know, concerts are starting up again. Maybe not big festivals, but just concerts and being able to hear some jazz in a venue. I mean, that's so important. It's so important.
No, it really is. It's weird. It's very, very funny how much things we took for granted, you know. Like, when I think about the toilet paper incident, right? And I'm like, we took toilet paper so for granted because we did not care about toilet paper. You know, like, we put that shit through shit and we didn't care about it. And we literally, it had us stuck last year, you know. People were buying a whole pack of 10 that's usually like $12 for like $40, you know. So there's a lot of things we've taken for granted. And I know this summer, a lot of people are definitely going to enjoy it with every possible way they can. Because, it's an odd vac summer. Like, we going to be outside with our masks, though.
Yes, with masks. But I'm glad that, you know, I hope my listeners can hear and know we took the vaccine. We're still alive.
Very much alive. Very much alive. I my symptoms are crazy, but I'm very much alive.
We don't have a third arm. And speaking of being outside and being out here, talked about concerts and like festivals and stuff like that. You know, I know neither of us are experts. I know I'm no expert on cultural appropriation. We both consume pop culture regularly. And, you know, so I'm curious, as someone who is in the know, what do you think qualifies as cultural appropriation? And what is the difference between that and like cultural admiration?
When I think of cultural appropriation, I think of the perfect example of like, you know, Kim Kardashian getting braids and saying it was a white singer that inspired her.
Yeah,
you
know, Bo Derek.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna mention the name because I don't wanna give that person the platform. That's cultural appropriation. I actually think even cultural admiration is, to a point, it's a problem. Because when people admire you, there's a fetishization that comes with it. But when people just appreciate you, they just appreciate you. Cultural appropriation looks different in many, many different ways. You know, it happens within Black culture where, you know, like, we have someone like Drake who decides to hop on and do a fake Jamaican accent because it's convenient for him. You know, that is appropriating that culture, or decides to switch to like a country accent. You know, we have someone like Iggy Azalea who can comfortably decide to sound Black when she wants to. So, you know, there's different ways in which cultural appropriation manifests, and sometimes it manifests even within us as a community. Because I think about how many things about like African culture that's now being brought into a Black pop culture and here in America. But a lot of the people don't even understand the origin or the roots behind those things.
Back to what you were saying, you know, we mentioned this last time we spoke. You mentioned this last time we spoke, and now you kind of hinted at it today. When I think of cultural appropriation, I usually think of it as people outside of that community taking from the culture and not giving credit, like you said. But you mentioned that Black people can also appropriate their own culture. And then back to The Black is King, which I personally loved. Some people had a problem with Beyoncé doing what she did, even though, you know, her roots are from Africa, which, like, I didn't understand the complaints against that. Why is what she doing cultural appropriation, and how are Black people appropriating their own culture? Like, how is that possible?
It's very much as simple as this, right? Being you're born and raised in New York, and let's say you go to Alabama and you spend a year. You come back from Alabama and you start speaking in a country accent. We all know that's not the case, right? That's not the case because you just don't absorb that accent and you decide, oh, you want to live your way by the things you learned in the South. Some level, you could have, let's say you absorb the accent.
Yeah.
You love the culture so much you want to live your whole entire life by it. But at the same time, you've still spent, let's say you're 21, you've still spent 20 years of your life in New York. and you've only spent that 1 year of your life in Alabama. So how are you going to form this whole idea of Alabama and say you want to live your life based on it? You know, yeah. So when it comes to we're all black. That's the color of our skin. But as black people, our roots are very, very different.
Yeah.
You know, I am black, but I am Nigerian. You're black, but you're American. There are black people that are Jamaican. There are black people that are British. There are different types of black people. When someone as an American just decides, oh, we've spent some time in Africa and we're just going to display this culture without actually involving people who are into that, like who actively live in Africa, that's the problem. You're doing exactly what we get white at the Mad Men for. Yeah, don't get me wrong, black is king. I know several African dancers that Beyonce had in the video that are from New York, but it's a huge difference between actually going to Africa and tapping talent from Africa.
Wait, she didn't do that? I thought that's what, like, the little boy in, who played basically like a Simba kind of thing, character, I think.
They all live in America.
No.
They all live in America, yes. One of the boys.
No, the main boy. African.
They're African, but they live in America.
Oh, no, I thought she was going and No. From there.
Papi Ojo, who was like the main boy dancing behind her, is Nigerian, lives in Brooklyn, raised in Brooklyn, is dancing for Janet Jackson, a lot of other people, Rihanna, he's amazing. Yeah, you know, Ebony Williams, she's of Jamaican descent. She's one of the girls from her Single Ladies video. My point is just, you know, so there are so many. It's also the way she referenced like Oshun in that video. You know, the whole thing in which she was doing in a video, it's a virgin dance. It's the easiest way to explain it, right? So where she's like dressed in white and is by the water, it's a whole performance for some people. And this is an actual culture for some people. So it's like doing a music video and you put a Roman Catholic like sermon in the video. And you just cut a snippet of like a Pope preaching or someone, I don't know what they called your pastors, or like, I know they're not called pastors in a Catholic church,
priest,
but like
priest.
You put a Catholic priest, oh yeah, a priest, you put a Catholic priest in a video and he's like preaching to people, but the priest is like a rapper who's just like rapping with the Bible in his hands. Any Christian will find that disrespectful.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, and that's the level of spirituality that comes with some of the things she did in the video. You know, so.
Okay. Yeah, I had no idea that most of those people weren't like from Africa.
Even if they are, it's still like, it's not, spirituality is not something to be toyed with for your music video.
Yeah.
I get very, very weirded out when I hear like people in Nigeria during rap music, because I'm just like, this is not, Afrobeats is our sound. Rap is not our sound. Now, when they do it and they give credit to the American artists that motivated them and pushed them into doing it, I very much love and respect that, you know. But it's the same thing with, you know, when let's say Swizz Beatz, for example. Swizz Beatz went through this whole like his whole Afrobeats phase where he was doing like Fela and a lot of stuff. What he did was he brought his kids into it. He brought Fela's children into it and he got them involved. Something like that is appreciation. Whereas if he's just like, oh, this person is in Africa, his family can't sue me here in America, I'm gonna just do his stuff.
Yeah.
He could have, but he didn't do it that way. And that's the thing I mean between like appropriation, admiration, and like versus actually appreciating it. When you appreciate something, you admire it, you fall in love with it, you do your research on it, you find the people that own it, you give them credit for it. If you can, you bring them into it. And that way you're able to, and it's just, and that's how you know something is truly appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, I like that you said like bringing people into it, because I'm thinking about like Black American rappers, and then you'll hear like maybe an African artist or a Jamaican artist featuring in the song. And so you hear all the different sounds and you hear them coming together. I love that. I love seeing us like all unite and come together. I love it. I listen to Nigerian music. I love Burna Boy, Adekunle Gold. Megan Thee Stallion has a song with, I think, Pop Con. And I just hearing the different sounds in there and seeing that Megan Thee Stallion kind of took that risk, you know what I mean? I love it. And so I don't want people to feel like, well, because it's not my culture, I can't do this, you know, like just making sure you have people, you do your research, having people feature in these songs with you, which is important.
Yes.
and something that we, you know, I do see a lot of, you know, I'm not gonna crap talk everyone in the industry, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. And something I wanted to bring up too, when we're talking about like white rappers, I think of someone like Eminem, and we know his story. I don't know if you ever watched 6 Mile.
Yes.
I don't consider what he's doing cultural appropriation. I'm curious to know, I don't know how big you are of a Eminem fan. I've always been a big Eminem fan.
So I respect his music. I very much respect his music. Eminem is a classic example of appreciation, but his appreciation became admiration in a sense of he came into the industry definitely respecting a lot of other people. But I think when you start to attack people who are within that community, I think after the whole thing with Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon just changed every level of respect I have for Eminem. But I think that for him, it was in the beginning, it was very much appreciation. Eminem is very much appreciation in the early days. A perfect example of what I would say appropriation is, the whole cultural appropriation is Post Malone. Post Malone made really, really shitty folk music and decided it was going to become a hip-hop artist and has never given credit to any of the people from Travis Scott, who they've done songs together, but he stole Travis Scott's whole, you know, entire persona, stole from a lot of young black artists, and they make music with him because that's how the industry is. But Post Malone is the perfect example of appropriation. Another person who is new that I would say is a great example of appreciation is Jack Harlow. Like the young boy, Jack Harlow is coming just off the bat, just making it known, like, I wouldn't be here without these people who produce this sound.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing. And the first thing he did, once his song blew up, the first person, he did like an interview before that song blew up and said his biggest inspiration was Lil Wayne. And without Lil Wayne's sound, and his first song, What's Poppin', the remix of that song was the first person he puts on. It's Lil Wayne. So for me, that's someone who genuinely appreciates what the culture has done for him. Whereas someone like Post Malone is just like, a lot of the time, he doesn't even want to call himself a rapper, calls himself a rock star. You know, and whereas you win awards in every rap category, if you're really a rock star, when they nominate you for rap awards, tell them you don't want it because that's not what you are. But you accept those awards.
And this music is definitely rap.
Exactly.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Another person that makes me slightly uncomfortable sometimes is Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber is very much someone who I think admires everything about the culture, but borderline crosses appropriation a lot of the times. I don't think it's appreciation from him. He could be great. He's grateful for Usher and a lot of the guys that helped him out. But I think it borderline crosses appropriation because he's walking around with his hair locked. Bro, we know your hair doesn't lock naturally. Your wife or some random person got it twisted for you. So that, for me, crosses borderline like appropriation. But at the same time, in the same breath, 2 days later, he puts two new black artists, who is Daniel Caesar and Giveon, on a song.
And Peaches.
Peaches, right? And Giveon's downloads went up by over 10 million.
Yep.
After Peaches, of all of his other songs.
Over 10. And his music is good.
It's great. Same thing with Daniel Caesar. Daniel Caesar has done some dumb shit.
He said some dumb shit. That's why he's down on level one for me right now.
The song with Justin pushed it
Come
back
on.
Up. So things like that is
Come
why I'm like,
now.
Okay, like.
That's why they did it, though. Yes.
So which sucks because, like, why are we running to these people that are appropriating our culture to help us, like, get glory? But the truth is the industry would always be controlled by a white market. It would always, music is always listened to from a white lens. Our look is also from a white lens.
That's unfortunate, yeah.
Yeah, and it just sucks because genuinely, like, there's some really, really, really talented people within us. You know, when we talk about, like, white artists, for example, right? Think about, like, this girl, JoJo, right? JoJo loves our culture, but she pays homage every chance she gets to those who paved the way. Same thing with Adele. Like, Adele is, like, another one who is, like, I really, really appreciate this culture. Adele's band is an all-black band. Like, she respects it. She respects her space.
Yep.
Even someone like Madonna is a weirdo for many, many different reasons, but she still appreciates the influence of hip-hop music on that. So there are different people that, like, you know, so it's very, very, like, it's very, very possible to, like, admire black music, but you can admire it and still very much appropriate it.
Yeah, and I think of, like, Miley Cyrus, who, you know, she always has made pretty good music, and I've always been a fan of her, but when she came into black culture, for a year, I don't even know how long, if it was even a year, and dipped out and then said, oh, that's not my thing anymore. People were like, are you, wow, okay. And I think she was dating Mike Will Made It. I mean, she was in a relationship with, I mean, she was just in a black phase, and it was really like sad to see, because I've always thought she was very talented. She's a very talented woman. And she kind of came in and came out like nothing, and then was talking about Nicki Minaj. And that's why Nicki Minaj was like, Miley was good at the awards.
It was good. Like, yep, like Miley Cyrus and her whole entire family really, really weirded me out. Her little sister, her brother, her dad is another one that's just like, her dad is going to do whatever he needs to do to get his check and take care of himself. So we can leave the father alone. But yeah, that whole family and that whole situation. But it's not even just Miley. It's like, even someone like Demi Lovato, who is, I think of Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez, they conveniently know when to choose the minority card.
Yeah.
They know when to choose and lean towards the black card. And it's because of we as a community, we have this thing where I've never understood the meaning of someone is welcome to the barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, I've never
We let everybody in the cookout, by the way. We let everybody in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, the cookout. Not the barbecue, the cookout, yeah.
Cookout, yeah.
I've never understood the point of us inviting someone to the cookout. Like, listen, Lindsay Lohan is not inviting you to come and eat her potato salad that has gummy worms in it, in her crib. Like, no white person is inviting you to eat their nasty ass unseasoned turkey during Thanksgiving just because you like rock music or just because you make rock music. But we as a people, we see even the Natasha Bedingfield, right? When she was dancing to the song That's Not Blowing Up, everybody was like, oh shit, she invited to the cookout, this. And I'm just like, Natasha was not checking for y'all the last couple of years, but y'all are helping her make some couple of more bucks by playing her song on TikTok. So she gonna affiliate with y'all, but Natasha was chilling. Now, Natasha has never been like a disrespectful person towards the culture, because for Obama to name her Tasha, because that's what she said her mom calls her Tasha. So there gotta be some love for black culture in there, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, it's just a matter of the fact that like we continue to give artists, white artists, the opportunity to say, hey, I want to be with my black people today, and I want to be with my white people today. We don't get that option. Think about someone like Macklemore. Macklemore made Thrift Shop, disappeared, came back, made songs about Black Lives Matter.
And white privilege.
And white privilege.
Dropped out.
Disappeared. Dropped out, then came back conveniently to say, white people need to start listening to black people more. Made some more money off of that, but a MLS team with Russell Wilson and Sierra, and went back into hiding because he knows the MLS team is going to be his continuous income stream. You know, it's like the fact that we continue to let these people conveniently walk in and out is what creates a bigger problem. And like, I hate the fact that we have like this pillars of our community, and a lot of them are just weak as fuck.
Yeah.
Cultural appropriation does not happen if we don't give it an opportunity to happen. And I'm not trying to victim blame or victim shame, but I am saying we need to make rooms uncomfortable for white people. Oh my God, I like your hair today. What was wrong with my hair yesterday? Or it was just like a little bit curly. Well, that's it's the natural state. And right now I'm wearing a wig. So this is a HR inappropriate and you're going to get sued for it. We need to make them uncomfortable in professional spaces. We need to make them uncomfortable in our friendships. When they're like, you're not like other black people, what is wrong with other black people?
And what does that even mean? You know,
exactly. Saying or
not, like I grew up hearing, and this is why I get really angry. I don't think you follow me on Instagram. I don't know, but I recently posted something about how angry I was that we were calling out certain black people and calling them Oreo and using certain racial terms for them. When we wouldn't call our black mother that, we wouldn't call our sisters that, our brothers that, but there's certain black people that you want to call those names to. And I think, and I'm like, well, if we're doing it, why are we mad when Miley Cyrus's sister actually had called Candace Owens nappy-headed hoe? Why are we mad when she does it, but then we'll do it? We'll say, oh, she's a nappy-headed hoe because we don't agree with her, but then we're mad when white people do it. We shouldn't be doing it at all. And we're setting the ground for them to say, oh, well, that's the kind of black person I can call an Oreo, a monkey, all of these things. And so we as black people need to stop using these words on each other.
You know, when they say charity begins at home, it really does begin at home. Like if, you know, if we as a people cannot take care of ourselves within ourselves, it just spills onto the outside. And, you know, when it comes to just appropriation, I think about, I don't know if you pay attention to radio stations, there's someone called Rosenberg.
Yes,
Rosenberg from Hot 97. Risenberg always crosses that line of like, I'm gonna smack this nigga in the face a lot of the times. Someone like that is just, he's gotten into our community, he's gotten comfortable, and has figured out a way to manipulate our community to work in his advantage, and would always use us against each other. You know, same thing with like Vlad TV, right? Vlad TV, who a lot of rappers took his platform and they accepted it because they took it as a space for them to be authentically themselves. But look at, there's been what? So far, there's a YouTube video that said there's been 13 arrests that have been made through Vlad TV videos of rappers, and they have played these videos of evidence. And I think it's testified in like 5 or 6 of them.
Wow.
It's a very, very blurred line when it's a black on black appropriation, cultural appropriation. But when it's white on black or Asians on like appropriating, you know, we see it a lot more clearer.
Yeah, no, I do think it's important, you know, admiring someone's cultural appreciation, credit and research and talking to people who are in that culture and not fetishizing. You know, I know Gwen Stefani, who I love me some Gwen Stefani. You know, she had the Harajuku girls where she had the Asian girls behind her. And you know, and now we look back and we're like, it doesn't look right for like a white woman to like have a bunch of Asian women behind her for an album and for music videos. And then when she wants to go home, just kind of shake it off. Like, you know what I mean? And now looking back at that, back then we didn't think it was problematic. We just thought, hey. And now we're looking and we're talking about it, and we're not shaming her, we're not canceling her, you know, we're just saying, hey, this is not okay, and this is why it's not okay. And I think, you know, I made an episode actually about cancel culture on this show. I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I'm a fan of accountability and like making people accountable, right? So yeah, I think that's really important. Thank you for coming on the show and talking about this. This is an important conversation that I've been thinking about for a long time as a black woman. And I know this is something that you're obviously thinking about regularly too. And we just got to keep holding people accountable. So yeah, thank you for coming on.
This was a great conversation. Hopefully, you know, we get to have many, many more conversations.
Of course, come back anytime.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.